Welcome to Parents' Perspective. 6-year-old Becky was getting ready for school. "I expect to be home before your bus arrives today," her mom began. "But if you should get home first and my car wasn't in the driveway, what would you do?" Becky thought for a minute as she put on her mittens. "Well," she replied, "I would just sit down on the front step and cry." From a parent's perspective, how can we best teach our children street smarts appropriate for their ages? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today, we are fortunate to have as our guest a police officer who works with school children on safety issues. Officer Robin Jones is a crime prevention officer in Northern Virginia. She conducts neighborhood watch and community presentations and events that bring safety and security tips to kids and adults. Officer Jones presents safety lectures in schools and is concerned with children learning caution at an early age. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Officer Jones.
Thank you for having me.
When it comes to street smarts, what's appropriate to teach our young children?
Well, you want to start off with the basics. Teach the child their name, the city and state in which they live. You may even add their phone number in there, and eventually you progress along to teaching them how to dial 911. And stranger danger.
What's stranger danger? Tell about that?
Yes. Stranger danger is where you would teach your child a stranger is someone you do not know. That way your child will begin to say, okay, I know who or what a stranger is. And so you start off with that, and they say, well, what do you do if a stranger approaches you? And you begin to teach them. First, we like to encourage children to be in the old buddy system, first of all. That's what
not
we like to see. Yes, not to be alone. And you don't leave your buddy. But if a stranger approaches you, a stranger may try to give you a pencil, a toy, or candy. What do? You say, no, get away, and you walk away, or you may even run away to where other people are located or to someone you trust. So that's how you would start out teaching them about stranger danger and just reinforcing that as they progress along in age.
At what age should we begin to teach those kinds of things?
You could start teaching it at 2 years of age.
Wow.
Just to start getting them used to what is a stranger, someone you don't know. Because your child will know mom and dad, probably your relatives that they will frequently see, or neighbors, or even mom and dad's friends who they see on a regular basis. So you want to start getting them to recognize the people that are involved in their life, and they'll become accustomed to knowing, well, that individual isn't someone I know. That's a stranger. Mm. So you just want to start building that block.
What might be some of the differences between teaching these very young children and then moving on and teaching our preteens and our teenagers?
Well, believe it or not, we as parents, when we start teaching the children, we've already started teaching them some aspects of safety, such as don't touch the stove, it's hot. Don't go down the steps without mommy and daddy. And we may not even recognize we've already started that building block for overall safety. With the smaller children, again, you want to reinforce stranger danger, how to do 911. When you get into the preteens, you want to start talking to them about alcohol, drugs, gang. As they progress along to teens, to where they may be getting to the point of driving, or they may accompany a friend that now has a license, depending on the age, you want to start talking to them about safety while they're out. You want to talk to them about just life experiences that they may come upon now that they're older. So those are the things that you will see as a difference. Usually with a child, about by the time they reach 10 or 12, their values are already set. So basically, you're just going to be adding a little bit more on top of that.
Now, we don't want to scare our children, or should we be scaring our children with all this information?
Well, we want to tell them the truth, and it may be scary to some of them. So that's why we want you to be honest with them when you talk with them, and it will unfortunately scare some of them. But you need to tell them when you talk to them about the stranger danger aspect. You need to explain to them someone may try to take you away from mommy and daddy. and hurt you. Someone may try to give you food or candy, which will make you sick. So when you're talking about that stranger danger, you just want to be truthful with them. That way the child knows that there's an open line of communication and I can talk to mommy and daddy.
So it's establishing that kind
yes,
of relationship.
Yes, establish that communication, yes.
Are there certain ways that parents should know how to give their children information, ways that the kids would be more likely to remember it?
I know stranger danger is a very good rhyming device.
I find if you just keep it very simple and you don't cause it to be a long and drawn-out explanation, kids remember it much better. And believe me, simple works for me as well. Mm-hmm. So simple is always the best way to do it. And you may find yourself doing it in the way of a game to try and get them to remember things. And when I say game, if you're out shopping, you may say to your son or daughter, tell me where the oranges are if you're in the grocery store. That gets them to start looking around. It's a game to them, but you've already started to get your child used to looking around, mm-hmm. to know what's going on around them. So you could do little aspects like that.
Sort of increase their awareness.
Increasing their awareness, yes. Yes.
How can our children protect themselves from becoming easy marks?
Well, just like we did with the awareness, start that by doing that game in the grocery store. Or if you're traveling down the roadway, can you point out Grandma and Grandpa's house? Get them used to looking around, because what we find is that, unfortunately, girls, we don't have as much awareness as males. Just because we're not used to maybe looking around, we may not have the confidence as we become older and adults. So if we start getting our small girls and even the young fellows to look around by playing this game, that's what you want to do.
So, Officer Jones, you're saying girls are not as aware of what's around them as boys are?
No, they are not. I give to you for an example. If you were to go to a local mall and maybe sit there in the main corridor of the mall, as you sit there and observe the ladies and gentlemen mingling about this corridor, you may notice that as a female may approach a male or a group of males, they may tend to drop their head or maybe look away because they don't have the confidence. There's a little scariness to this. So if you just start instilling that being able to look around to see what's going on, give them confidence as well, then when you become an adult, hopefully your head will not drop and you'll be able to walk straight down the corridor with confidence and you'll know what's going on. So yes, that's the best example to just see how the difference there may be between males and females. Now, you may find some females that don't do that. Again, some may have been taught awareness or may have had it instilled somewhere along the way, but probably about 70% were very, very low in awareness.
They're sort of self-conscious much more.
Yes.
Are there certain kinds of kids that are easier marks than others? I mean, people must be able to spot the ones that seem to lend themselves more to trouble.
Basically, it's going to get down to a child who maybe when they're leaving for school for the day and walking home, maybe kind of playing around with the trees or maybe playing with, you know, shavings of grass or flowers and not paying much attention as to where they're walking, where they're going. That may be what someone could be looking for, or a child that's really by themselves. So, again, that's why we would encourage the children to be together in pairs.
So kids who are loners or
yes.
inattentive?
Yes, kids that are loners, you know, to have a buddy. Walk home or walk to school with a group. Safety is best in numbers.
Mm-hmm. While we're on the subject of school safety, how can parents help kids who might have trouble with bullies, for example? There are all kinds of things that go on at school.
Yes. There is not one clear-cut solution to it. There are numerous ways. We want you to keep the lines of communication open with your child so they will come and talk to you when they are confronted by a bully. So we would encourage you to talk with your child, advise them to stay with their buddy. That way, again, safety in numbers. If you do have a bully that will come up and threaten you, because that's the way a bully will work. You basically would be assertive, and you will tell the bully, no, get away from me. And in some instances, your child may need to run or walk away. If the child feels threatened, we do not want to encourage a physical confrontation. We don't want that.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on street smarts for kids.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today we are talking with Officer Robin Jones about street smarts for kids.
If your child needs to run to get away from the bully, do that. What the parent can do once they are made aware of this situation is give a call to your school official, the school principal. Make them aware as to what's going on. At that point, the police department may be brought in, depending on the circumstances, or the school counseling may be brought in to help find out what the problem is here. So again, we don't want to encourage any type of physical confrontation with the bully.
Some parents say, well, if somebody hits you, hit them back.
No, that is not very good to do, because children would be out here assaulting each other. It's best to get away from that circumstance as quickly as you can and run home to your parent or someone you trust. Talk to your school counselor or your teacher.
What do you think about parents calling the parents of the offending child? Is that a good idea?
What I would probably do was put it to the attention of school officials if it's occurring after school, that type of circumstance. If you find that it's just happening in the community, then the parent may try to go ahead and give a call to the parent to say, you know, can we get together and talk about a situation between our two children?
Sometimes the parent of the bully is the most uncooperative among parents.
Sometimes you will find that. And if you find that that's not being positive for you, then, you know, we would recommend, if you do have a school counselor or someone at school, to go that route. Or you may be able to give a call to your local law enforcement agency and be able to talk to a crime prevention officer or the community officer of that agency and say, you know, what can I do for guidance?
Don't be afraid to call on your police department.
Yes,
you're not going to have the kid in jail.
No. Don't be afraid, because a lot of times we may know other avenues of trying to find the solution. So that's why we would encourage you to try that route if you've not been successful by contacting the parents.
Okay, so it's the crime prevention officer parents want to call. I just don't want them to call 911 or something.
That's a good point.
Yes, the crime prevention officer, or you may have a community police officer.
Okay.
But they would probably be able to help you and assist you in that matter.
And that would be just calling the local district station?
Yes, your local district police station. Okay. Yes.
My oldest son is now 30 years old, but when he was little, he came to me one day and he said, Mommy, I have a question. I know a police officer helps people, but I can't figure out what he helps people do. So now we know. You've given us a good idea of what police officers help people do. What should we tell our kids about situations in which they are afraid? They don't want to be called cowards, but they're scared.
Okay. What you want to do is just continue to encourage your children to remember the things that you taught them. And you also want to tell them that you're not a coward. Tell them that you know, Mom and Dad, we're not going to see you as a coward, and just reinforce that. That way they know that they have someone on their side, someone that's there for them,
to
support them.
Tell them the behavior they need to do is smart, not cowardly.
Yes.
Give it a different label.
Yes.
More
a positive. Yes.
What should a child do if he discovers, he or she discovers, he's being followed? That sometimes happens.
Yes, and I am sure that can be very scary. If they feel that they are being followed, what they can do is go to a location where there are more people, a shopping center. Now, you can teach your child to use their voice. Child would yell, no, get away from me.
What about like a child walking home and he's been with a buddy and then it's time for the buddy to go to his house and he's got another block to go or something and he thinks that there's somebody following him? What would be the best thing to do at that point?
What he can do at that point is try to go back to his buddy's house if his house may be closer, or he may know of a neighbor that is in close proximity to where he is, run to that neighbor's house. And there may be some homes in your community that may participate in a program called the Block Parent Program. That program usually involves a home that has some type of special symbol on paper in the window that children know that that is a safe haven that they can go to, or they may be called a haven home. This is citizens that have probably gone to a school officials or their PTA, and they've probably gone through a police background check. And once they've been approved, they are provided these special symbols. Like I said, it could be different depending on what locale you are in. And the children are taught to recognize this symbol, and if you need help, you can go to that home, and the citizen will be there to help you.
We had an occasion to drive for 6 hours through small towns and winding roads of Pennsylvania. And my husband commented, he said, "What is that?" We saw signs through some of these towns, big signs on posts that said, "There are Block parents in this community," or "We are a Block parent community." I thought that was really impressive.
Yes.
And anybody coming into that area would know, and I'm sure the children and the families all share that information.
Yes, and we encourage the parents, if your children are in school, to drive through your community and make sure that your children know where these safe homes are. Mm-hmm. That way they know where they can go. The parents are familiar with the location as well. So that can be very beneficial not only to the parent, but to the child.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on Street Smarts for Kids.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parents Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today we are talking with Officer Robin Jones about Street Smarts for Kids. What guidelines are there for a youngster to know if he's confronted by someone who is clearly threatening?
If a child is threatened, we would want the child to use their voice again. Yell, "No, I don't know you. Get away from me." And keep repeating that because you will get someone's attention. We want you to attract attention.
What is the fine line, I keep thinking about this, for especially for young children, between somebody who's very nice standing next to them in line at a toy store or something, who's a grandparent or something else, and who says, "You know, that's a wonderful toy you have there," and somebody who might have other designs? How is the kid going to make the difference? It would be very embarrassing for the child to yell, "You're not my daddy."
Yes, it would be. But again, with teaching the child stranger danger, we want the child to get away from the stranger, because even a nice stranger could come up to the child and maybe talk to them about the wonderful jacket they have on, maybe this wonderful toy they have. So even though they may be nice, if you do not know that person, they are a stranger. So we still encourage the children to yell, "No, get away from me. You're not my mommy or daddy."
Better to have some false alarms.
Yes, exactly.
Officer Jones, sometimes the danger is not from a stranger. Sometimes it's, people will say, the funny uncle can get a child into some kind of a problem.
Yes. That's why we would encourage the parents to start out at an early age while they're instilling the name, city, and state in which they live. Start talking about inappropriate touching, or if someone makes an inappropriate attempt to touch you, so that the child feels comfortable to come and talk to you about it. It may be a little odd for parents to discuss it, but it's something that the parent themselves needs to do. That way the child will know, if something happens, I can go to mommy or daddy. And you want to encourage the child, give them that positive, that I want you to come and talk to me if someone tries to touch you. So that way they know, oh, I can go tell mommy and daddy.
Where you are, I know there are programs in the schools teaching the children about street smarts. But I think you mentioned to us before the show that they don't talk about that part of it.
No, we don't, because we feel that it should be the parents teaching this to the children. You know, some parents may even give, while they're talking with the children, certain portions of the child's body a nickname. That's fine. Again, you want to keep it simple to the point where the child will remember and they can come and talk to you.
As long as the child feels he can come or
yes,
she can come and say, yes. Uncle so-and-so was holding me on his lap an awfully long time and I wanted to get down and he wouldn't let me or something.
Yes, and explain to him something that makes you feel uncomfortable. You can come and talk to me about.
That sounds like that's related to the business that adults discuss sometimes. If it doesn't feel right, then there's probably something wrong.
Exactly. That is exactly what you want to instill in the children when you're talking with them.
Teach them instinct.
Instincts, yes. Yeah. And instincts, I mean, a lot of times we do not listen to our instincts, even as adults. But again, you want to have a child begin to be able to come and talk with you, then feel appropriate. Their instincts are going to kick in, and they'll hopefully will come and talk with you.
Mm-hmm. That's just like, I guess, the instinct of fear is put there for a reason.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And that way the child will hopefully feel comfortable to come and talk with you.
We've heard of a game that parents can play with kids to help them through various stressful situations. It's called What If? Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, that is a good game to start teaching your children about safety and how they will react. You, for instance, would say, Mommy would say, okay, Johnny or Susan, if a stranger came up to you and started talking to you, what would you do? You would say, no, get away. Well, what if a stranger is dressed very nicely and they came up to you and say, you know, you look like your coat standing out here. Let me give you a ride home. What would you do? No, I don't know you. Get away from me. And you would not get in the car. That's basically how you play the what if game. You give them different scenarios, different options as to what could possibly happen to see how your child would answer, how your child would react. You may ask your child, what if a stranger grabs you by your hand? What would you do? Child will say, no, get away from me, kick, punch. And a lot of times the children will say, well, can I bite them? Well, we would say as far as biting someone, because of germs, we don't want you to bite. But if that is the only way you can get away after kicking and punching, then you have to do that. But we don't like to throw that into the equation until it's the last resort.
But the best weapon is your voice?
Yes, because you want to attract attention.
Now, is it true that children should yell fire instead of help? We've heard that for grown-ups. Does that work for children?
Say fire gets much more attention.
Yes, fire will work because a lot of times when you yell help, a lot of times people don't pay much attention to the word help or they don't want to get involved. And I believe that when you say fire, people tend to get a little inquisitive. Oh, what's on fire? What's going on? So the child can do that. Again, you want to get that child to get attention toward them. And just have them keep you know, using their wonderful voice and repeating those phrases until they're able to get someone's attention.
What resources on Street Smarts could you suggest for our listeners?
First of all, we would recommend to the listeners to contact your local law enforcement agency. They may have a community officer there, a crime prevention officer that may have some resources for them. They can also go to the National Crime Prevention Council, their website, and then some other websites that they would probably should focus on. One would be www.theantidrug.com. This website will discuss drugs with you, how to talk to your child about drugs, and how the effects of drugs may have on your children. The next site we would recommend would be www.taxi1010.com. This is very good because kids and adults can go onto this website and it will give you information on dealing with bullies or solutions to conflicts. Another location that will give you safety tips of a variety would be www.localmom.com. And then, of course, the website for the National Crime Prevention Council would be www.ncpc.com. parents will find all these websites to be very informative and give you a little more information that you could discuss with your children.
We came across a book that we would love to recommend, only apparently it's no longer in print, but we know that you can get it in some libraries. It's called How to Raise a Street Smart Child, and it was written by Grace Heckinger in the 1980s. I wish it were out there now. It's a nice little paperback with a lot of helpful information. Try the library.
Yes. Maybe we can start a groundswell of demand for this book again. We're so pleased that Officer Robin Jones was able to join us today to share all her helpful insights with us on street smarts for our kids. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And also tell us what station you're listening to. Now that we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning in from. Parents as Mentors is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about us and our book, Parents as Mentors, visit our website through our shortcut address. This address has no W's, so you might want to jot it down. It's http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Bird and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.